Good evening, this is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this second Sunday of Epiphany, Year B. Our readings today, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 20, Psalm 139, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 12 to 20, and the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. Let us pray. The Lord is here, His Spirit is with us. We need not fear, because His Spirit is with us. We are surrounded by love, for His Spirit is with us. And so we are immersed in peace, for His Spirit is with us. Therefore, we rejoice in hope, for His Spirit is with us. And we travel in faith, for His Spirit is with us. Amen. You are the King, and we will praise You. You are holy, and we will bow before You. You are the Savior, and we will trust You. You are Almighty, and we will serve You. You are the Lord, and we will adore You. Amen. Lord, we have gathered to praise You so often before. We have come to sing and to pray and to listen to Your word. And yet, we have not worshipped You, but we have tried to please ourselves. Holy Spirit, come, move among us and within us, that we may leave what we know we have been in the presence of the living God. Lord, help us to listen to Your word, and may we respond with heartful praise. Amen. We have the hymn, In Christ Alone. We pray the collect for the second Sunday after the Epiphany, followed by our parish prayer. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant to your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, The Lord Knows Our Heart. The Lord Knows Our Heart. In Psalm 139, the psalmist acknowledges that the Lord knows all about him. The psalmist writes, Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You trace my journeys and my resting places, and are acquainted with all my ways. Indeed, there is not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it altogether. Psalm 139, verses 1 to 3. How does the Lord know all about him? The psalmist acknowledges that God's Spirit is everywhere. He cries out, Where can I go then from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Verse 6. He affirms that there is nowhere he can go where the Lord is not present. If I climb up to heaven, you are there. If I make the grave my bed, you are there also. If I take the winds of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand hold me fast. Psalm 139, verses 7 to 9. The psalmist acknowledges that he, in fact all of us, are created by God, and we are wonderfully made. He affirms that his body is not hidden from the Lord, and that the Lord is aware of everything. He ends by asking God to search him, for his thoughts are restless. The psalmist affirms, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my restless thoughts. Look well whether there is any wickedness in me, and lead me in the way that is everlasting. Verses 22 and 23. The psalmist concludes that the Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. God indeed knows what is in our heart. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15, Jesus denounces the Pharisees and scribes. He says, "This people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Matthew 15, verse 8. He then goes on to explain to the crowd gathered, "It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Matthew 15, verse 11. Later, at the request of Peter, Jesus explains, "Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and that is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defiles a person." Matthew 15, verses 17 to 28. God's knowledge of us comes from the heart. In our Old Testament lesson from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 3 to 20, the Lord did not only know Samuel by name, but also the Lord knows his heart. We are told that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. Verse 1b. It was in those times that the Lord called Samuel, who grew up in the presence of the Lord and grew both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. 1 Samuel 2, verse 26. Because he had an obedient, pure heart, God called Samuel not only to tell Eli his faith and that of his sons, but God called Samuel to be a prophet, a leader of Israel, the one who would have the honor and privilege of anointing the first two kings of Israel, including the great King David. Have you ever wondered how Jesus was able to choose the 12 whom he called apostles? Our gospel today from John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51, gives us an insight. After Andrew, who had spent time with Jesus, brought his brother Simon to Jesus, John tells us that the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." John chapter 1, verses 43 to 45. Nathanael's response comes from the heart. Nathanael says to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Verse 46a. Nazareth, a small, insignificant Galilean village on the fringes of Jewish society. How could someone so important come from such an insignificant little village? Nathanael speaks from his heart. He expresses what he thinks without malice or ill will. He is invited by Philip to come and see. Nathanael accompanies Philip. As he is approaching Jesus, Jesus looks into his heart and says of him, here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. John chapter 1 verse 47b. Nathanael is surprised and asked, where did you get to know me? Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Nathanael replied, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Nathanael realized that Jesus looked into his heart and was able to see his true self, something only the Messiah, the Son of God, would be able to do. Nathanael could only speak the truth about Jesus if he had a pure heart, a heart in which there was no deceit, no falsehood. Jesus recognized that Nathanael would be a good and faithful believer. Therefore, he would promise him, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. John 1 verse 55. Nathanael is rewarded for his pure heart. When God looks at our heart, what does God see? Does God see a heart of flesh? That is, a loving, caring, obedient heart? Does God see a heart that is willing to forget self and respond in love to the needs of others? Does God see a heart that is obedient to God's word and God's will? Or does God encounter a heart of stone, an angry, uncaring heart, full of thoughts of revenge, self-centered thoughts aimed at belittling others and putting them in their place? So often we forget that God knows what is in our heart, and what is in our heart exposes our true self. At the beginning of the Eucharist, our main act of worship, we pray the collect for purity. We pray, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. As we pray, we acknowledge that God knows all the secret desires of our hearts, and we are asking God to cleanse our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. We know God can cleanse our hearts if we truly desire it. The hymn writer David Fellingham invites us to pray. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Wash me, cleanse me, purify me. Make my heart as white as snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. Let us pray. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Lord, your call to Philip inspired him to encourage others to explore the wonder he beheld. As your church seeks to follow you, so may we invite all people to come and see your glory. Grant us a vision of your living presence. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Lord, Philip challenged Nathanael's prejudice and disdain. Overturn the ways we demean the value of others because of background, race, or gender. Open our hearts to discover your image in unexpected places. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Lord, friends shared discoveries of your kingdom. Bless those in whose company we can delight and flourish. Restore in us the joy of life. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Lord, you saw Nathanael from a distance. Be with all who feel isolated or removed from their normal surroundings by infirmity. Sustain us with your love. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Lord, you are always ready to greet us and call us home. Draw to yourself all whose earthly life is over. Bring us to delight in your eternity. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. And we have the hymn, Songs of Fellowship, 76. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May Christ, the Son of God, be manifest in you, that your lives may be a light to the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. And we wish you a very rewarding and productive week. We pray that you will continue to allow God's Spirit to direct your heart and therefore your thoughts, words, and actions. We end with the hymn Songs of Fellowship 897. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.